Well, good morning. We're going to share out of the book of Proverbs again today as we're in our study, kind of reflecting. Did you notice the banners are gone?
Yes.
You didn't notice that, James?
Yeah.
And now we have them painted over here.
Yeah.
Just kind of a discover, right?
Yeah, and I like how it's 3D.
You like how 3D it is?
Like it kind of looks like it's coming out.
You know what? The painter would really appreciate that because that's what they were going for. That is kind of coming out of the wall to discover who God is, who I am, and who we are. So when we talk about whether we do life groups or whether we come together as a church, that's what we want to continue to always be discovering, whether it's a new believer to put your faith in Jesus or whether you're somebody who's growing. How big is God, right? We just talked about that. That we can continue to discover who God is, who He created us to be, and then who we are as we come together and to grow in our faith, in obedience, and a relationship. There are three aspects of way of growing, to trust God bigger and bigger ways. First, provision, or that the answer will come even though it's not the answer we want to come. That we could say, okay, God, I thought I knew what I wanted, but I know You. You love me, and You're going to give me what I need. So I'm going to trust that when I don't get what I want, it's because You got something better planned for me. To grow in obedience. There's stuff we know we need to walk in. That we can't walk in the fullness of God's blessings until we walk in obedience. You know, yes, there's God's mercy, but there's also God's love. That He wants us to trust Him and grow in that and grow in relationship with the other. That as this relationship grows, it impacts this. As I walked in obedience to the Lord and grow this relationship and my understanding of who He is, it changed how I talked to people, changed how I listened, changed what I was patient about. It changed what I was diligent about. And then impact. See what Jesus sees. Feel what Jesus feels. Pray what Jesus prays. Do what Jesus does. That it's just a continuum. It's not yet like get done at this, go to this, get done at this, go to this. It's all as we walk this out, it impacts what's going on. Well, I'm going to pray as we open up our study in Proverbs. Join with me. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come and anoint our minds, touch our hearts. Lord, just like You said, there's a time coming when I will put hearts of flesh in men. Lord, them not hard hearts, but heart tender hearts. Obedient hearts. You would put Your laws in our hearts. We wouldn't have to just read them and know them with off a page, but there would be things that You would write them in our hearts so we would know where to go, where to turn left, where to turn right, what to pursue, what to back off from. Lord, that You would write. Lord, I pray this morning as we open Your word up, Lord, as we seek out to be all who You called us to be, Lord, that You would make us receptive. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been going through this series in the book of Proverbs. I love Proverbs. You know, I love one of the first verses that I memorized was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, right? We talked about that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. You know, those kind of things is like, and lots of other ones as we've studied, as we've looked at. This one's done thematically kind of, as we said, okay, what are all the verses? And I used my friend Timothy Keller to help put this together, but what are all the verses that have to do with knowing wisdom? And there's a lot more, you know, and sometimes you'll hear some repeats. We talked about knowing God. What are all the verses that understand who knowing God is? And then this last one we've been going through, knowing the heart, all those things that influence and impact our heart. And this, the time we're going to begin today, talking about knowing others. Knowing others. And in the first category, we're going to talk about friendship. Friendship, knowing others in friendship. I have had a lot of friends over time, right? Some of you have moved. We've moved several different times. You know, I was a missionary kid, so I grew up in Venezuela for the first part of my life. Then I lived in Baldwin Park, California went to Charles Bush Elementary School in third grade. And then I moved to West Covina, and I had friends there. Then I went to college. Then I moved to Olympia, Washington, and then Pleasanton, California, and then to Albany, and then the last 12 years or so here in Lebanon. All those places, you know, that you make friendships, and there's friendships I have from high school that I still can pick up a conversation, and you just feel like you've connected back then, and you just come back to it, and you're still friends, and you just pick up kind of where you left off. Those friendships that are near and dear to your heart, that you have memories together, that you know each other, some history about who you are. And those friends that you don't want them to talk to other friends, because then they'll really get the full picture of who you are. But it just, it's something that we can enjoy. And talk about friendships. There's an intentionality that's required. Read with me Proverbs 18:24. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. This proverb tells us that there is reliable friends are better than siblings, better than family. And you think, you know, just think about, we tend to think family, there's nothing closer than family, right? Thicker than blood, which is what makes friendships so important, intentional, is because people don't like you just because they're related to you, because you can't choose your relatives, right? People say that. But you choose your friends. There's an intentionality. So when somebody chooses you as your friend, you're like, this is cool. This is awesome. This is encouraging. Reliable friends are closer than family, because isn't by circumstance, but by choice. And I think about, you know, friendships, workplace friendships. I think about neighbors that you have. I think about school friendships, all those things that happen because of circumstance. And you crave friendships there, but there are circumstances, and you're really not quite sure what level of friendship they are until you start to do things outside of those places. Because why? Because you're choosing to grow those friendships, being intentional to develop those friendships to face-to-face time that you have together. I think about that face-to-face time. It's why I tell people, encourage people who are dating, to give it at least a year. To grow a friendship first. Develop a friendship. That's why it's not healthy in our culture, where people jump into a physical relationship before developing a friendship. It just kind of messes up the process of knowing who you're getting to know, because there's ties that happen. And do they like me for who I am, or do they like me for the physical relationship we have? You won't know that unless you develop that friendship first. Learn about how they handle stress. Learn how they treat their family and friends. Learn what happens when you disappoint them. How do they treat you? Do they like you for who you are because of what you give them? Friendships are so important because you become like who you hang out with. You become like your friends. If you are have friends who, well, I remember in our kids, we could tell by our kids' attitudes and how they acted around the house who they were hanging out with. And if we didn't know, we would ask. It's like, something's going on. What's going on? It could be an unsettledness in them. It could be just a sassiness to their mouth. That we're like, something's wrong. Something's not right. Why? Because they hung out with this person at their house, and that's how they treated their parents or their siblings or what they were free to do, and then they brought that home. It's like, so-and-so gets to do this. Why don't I get to do it? It's like, no, we're going to correct this. We're going to limit the time you spend with this person. Because in the same, and it doesn't change for kids, it's with us being aware as adults that who you hang out with influences you, influences your heart and how you live. How have your best friends shaped and influenced you over the years? Friendships. Now, I'm going to talk about four different attributes of friendships. And the first one I'm going to talk about is constancy. We'll unpack what I mean by that. Constancy in friendship. Reading from Proverbs 17:17, and again, gathering verses here in this thing. Chapter 19, verses 6 and 7, and chapter 20, verse 6. Here we go. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Many carry favor with the ruler, and everyone is a friend of the one who gives gifts. The poor are shunned by all their relatives. How much more do their friends avoid them? Though the poor pursue them with pleading, they are nowhere to be found. Many claim to have unfailing love, but a faithful person who can find. When you think about the qualities of friendship, one of the top attributes is constancy, being faithful to what? To a friendship. A friend loves at all times, through thick and thin, pain. And right, this verse talks about when you got lots of money, lots of things to give, people like hanging out with you. When you don't have anything to give and you're poor and lacking or even sick, it's amazing too, because we have a couple people who are going through some serious sickness right now in our congregation. And it's those things that make us feel uncomfortable, even when people die, right? When people die, I hear people say, and that is, I don't know what to say, right? You're like, you don't know what to say. Guess what? Don't say anything. Just be with them. But that's when you find out who your friends are, when things aren't going well. Who hangs out? Who's willing to be uncomfortable and not know what to say? And just be with somebody. The constancy of friendship. The reality of friendships is most of them are transactional. That sounds like crazy. Well, is that a friendship? What I mean by transactional, I mean there's some kind of benefit you get from it. Economic, social, privilege, those things that you benefit. I really like hanging out with them because they're so funny. Rich, you're so fun to hang out with. You make me laugh, enjoy life. But there's more to that. There's more to life than that. I think about a friend loves at all time. All those things, to me, it sounds like a marriage, doesn't it? Well, the reality, guess what? Marriages should have all the attributes of a friendship. Being faithful, being constant. I think about just even in our culture, friends with benefits. Right? We've all heard that term, and we know what it refers to. But the reality is that really a friend? It's not a friend. True friends are there for you, not for your benefits. They love who you are, love you. And I talk about those times as that's when you find out who your friends are, because they don't look at you as a means to an end. Friends cherish you, even when it's inconvenient. They're willing to drop things to come and help you or to come be with you, even when they've got other plans that they will cancel because they know something is serious about that, about what's going on for you. The reality is good friends are difficult to find. You know, you think about over time. I remember in our relationship, as you move a lot, you know, with different friends, and I remember realizing, oh, I'm was on a promotion track that at a season of my life, advancing in companies and making more money was important to me. And I knew that that required some changes and moves. And also I just knew just our family that I didn't mind moving. And Jackie didn't mind moving either. But there was a cost to that. I remember we shared with friends as we had been in Pleasanton for about 5 years, and we had began to develop some close friendships, and there was some heart bonding going on. It's like, these are people I could do life with. And I remember sharing with them that, you know, we didn't know how long we would be in town because our pattern had been moving like every 6 years. And I remember them telling us, as, I don't think we can continue to be your friend, because we don't want to invest in something that will end. And they were believers and strong believers. In fact, he went on to, after we had moved, he was a gifted guy, gifted speaker, and he went on to be on a pastor at a larger church. And it made me sad that they weren't willing to invest in a friendship that would possibly end, you know, because of moving. And the reality is, guess what? We live in a, there's no guarantee, right? That you give all you can to the moment, otherwise you miss out. But I think in my fault, I was pretty shallow. Because I faulted them as being shallow. It's like, really? We're not worth investing in it, we might move. But I think what I appreciated, came to appreciate, was that they valued friendship as something to invest in for a lifetime. Whereas where for me, I had looked at it, I'm going to give it all, but you're going to move on. I think about when people move, it's the people who get left behind have the biggest loss. It's the people who are going somewhere else, they have other things to look to. You know, I just think about, just like we celebrate funerals, right? We're not sad for the people who are gone. They get to go enjoy heaven and peace and move on from sickness. We're sad for us. But I think about just my understanding. I pray that I would value friendship and be that kind of thing. Not that I would withhold, but I would invest in friendship, saying, hey, I don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm going to invest in it as if it's forever. How can you give more time to deepening the friendships you have? We talk about friendships that God gifts us with. The second requirement for friendship is transparency in friendship. Proverbs 27, verse 5 and 6. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. I just think about friendship, transparency. I try to be transparent. I mean, you know, you've heard me share some stories and things, and you're like, I mean, early on, when I first started to preach every Sunday, because that was a big deal, I went from a staff pastor to pastor here, where I had to preach every Sunday, and that was an overwhelming responsibility. But I remember coming home after church, and my daughter would say, Dad, that story was inappropriate. It's like, what? I was like, you know, it's okay, you tell some of these stories. It says, but that was going a little too far, just telling you. And I can remember my wife saying, cringing the comments I would make to friends or whatever. And she just finally came to the realization, says, Scott has his own relationships. And that's on him. That's not on me. And I just think about it, those transparency. So I just tend to think of, you know, hey, I want to be an open book. I don't want to hide things. I want people to know who I am. You know, and God has helped me be more appropriate about my illustrations or about the stories I tell. But I want to be known. I want to be real. But I think about the transparency and friendship that I'm talking about today, I want to point out, is really the transparency of our friends to us. And that kind of transparency is, you want the kind of friends that will tell you and point out honestly, to be called out by your friends and say, hey, you're inconsistent. You said this was important to you, but you just did this. That's the kind of transparency we look in friendships, willing to put their friendship on the line, right? They love and care about us so much, they're willing to hurt us for our benefit. That's the kind of friends that I want. I want somebody who's strong enough that recognizes that I've got weaknesses. I want them for sure to affirm me and tell me what I'm good at doing, but I also want them to tell me where I'm messed up. I want those kind of friendships that are transparent instead of just being quiet about something they see that is dangerous, but willing to confront me and tell me things that are out of order. The New King James Version renders this kind of honesty as faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful. How is that faithful? It means that there's nothing that will keep them from doing that. They love us so much that they're willing to risk their friendship. In a sense, that if you can't hear the wounds of a friend, if you can't hear their criticism, then they're not your friend. And you're not their friend. It's one of those things. It does go both ways in those kind of things that are constant, because we have friends who are... Anybody have anybody who has no problem being critical to you about you? They're like, hey, here's the list for this week. You know, this is the 12 ways you're like totally messed up. And they might be spot on. But if you turned around and gave them any kind of a half of what they gave you, they're mad at you. They're like, that friendship is over. It's both ways. Being able to be transparent about their strengths and weaknesses, places they need to grow and improve, but be able to love each other in that way. If you don't have faithful friends, you will never truly know your strengths and weaknesses. There's a boldness and security to have this identity in Christ. This isn't about when somebody's critical to you, it's not your identity. There's areas that you need to grow in, but to be secure in your identity so you can hear their critique to say, okay, I am not who God called me to be. I want to continue to grow and become all that He desires for me and designed me to be. To have transparent friends is a blessing that takes courage to pursue. You know, to invite them. I know I went through some leadership classes that really challenged, said, hey, would you go around and ask the people that work for, who you work over or cover, which I could ask a lot of you in church in a sense. But, I asked Bob, I asked Leanne, can you tell me where my leadership lacks? Tell me what really bothers you about how I lead. Tell me some blind spots that I don't see. To be willing to have those kind of friends and say, hey, tell me what's wrong with me. Go easy, but please be honest. Tell me. And it's interesting, as I remember the challenges, because as you begin to critique somebody, if it's a friendship, what are you opening the door up for? And I didn't offer that. I said, this is like a free opportunity. Please tell me where my weaknesses are. I want to be the best pastor I can be. I want to be the best leader I can be. There's some things that are missing that I need, and God's giving me, you as a friend to me, to grow in those areas. We need the perspective of others who have the courage to hurt us, to help us. Right? There's damage. We're not talking about damaging somebody, but we're talking there's sometimes some hurt that leads to healing, that leads to health, that leads to help. Here's my question to us. How many friends do you have that will speak the truth in love? The friends that will really tell you, say, hey, this is, and I know it is a relationship building, because it is a tender spot, because, and I'm included, which is you can have friends who will tell you what's going on. And for me, it's like my kids. If they wanted to get a no answer right off the bat, they would come ask me. If they want to get a yes answer, they go ask Jackie. And so just that immediate response is no. And so my immediate response is when people come up and critique me, it doesn't feel good, does it? It doesn't feel good. And so immediately you come up with impulsively with excuses of what happened. Right? We call it blame shifting. Instead of saying, yeah, I screwed up, we're like, oh, it's because this happened. Otherwise, I would have not made that mistake. Or it's because you did this first. That's why I did that. Instead of just acknowledging. And so I pray that I'm getting more mature to say, that's a hard thing to hear. Let me pray about that. That God would help me see why that's true and what's underneath that reaction. You know, because even part of it is, we tend to jump on our intentions as the gospel, which is, we hear something negative and we'll say, I didn't intend for that to be taken that way. I didn't mean that way. As if that solves everybody's problems. Oh, good, I'm glad you didn't mean to run over that guy. We're all good. No problem. Instead of taking responsibility, you may not have intended, I may not have intended to hurt you. I may not have meant that to discourage you, but it did. And so I need to think through, is like, what is it that I've been insensitive about? Talk about, what is it have I been not paying attention to? Lord, help me be a friend that both receives the truth, but also one who speaks the truth. The third quality of a friendship is sensitivity or tact. Sensitivity in friendship. Proverbs 25, verse 20 and 27, verse 14. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. I called this the gift of knowing when and what to do where. Well, let me say that again. I kind of said that sideways. The gift of knowing when and where to do what. The gift of knowing when and where to do what. Because they talk about timing, right? I mean, this verse is talking about, hey, there's nothing wrong with blessing your neighbor. But 6 in the morning probably isn't the time to shout it out. And some of us are, don't talk to me till after I get my coffee. Oh, don't talk to me till 10 o'clock. And then we can have a great, incredible conversation and I'm good till midnight. And some of us are early morning. To be aware of what kind of person is. Don't have heavy conversations. And be aware of sensitive to that friendship. Insensitive people use inappropriate humor. They speak lightheartedly to heavy hearts. Insensitive people really are emotionally disconnected. They're not putting themselves in other people's shoes to say, what is it they're thinking about right now? What is it? They just got some heavy-duty news. Blowing past it as if nothing happened is not being sensitive, but saying, oh my goodness, if that was me, I'd really be anxious right now. I'd be wondering what's next. I would want to know that somebody was going to walk with me through this. Insensitive people don't know the other person well enough to know what is going to hurt or what's going to help them, what's going to inspire them and what's going to bore them, what's going to stimulate them or irritate them. To know somebody well enough. And it takes time, right? Friendships take time to know that. To discover, you know, that, oh man, I got to remember not to do that. Because that is not their personality or this kind of environment. It's not like walking on eggshells. Walking on eggshells is you never know what people are going to blow up unhealthy. I'm talking about just being sensitive. Saying, oh, I know they don't like last minute plans. So I'm going to tell them ahead of time, hey, this is what I'm thinking about. I'm not saying I want to do this, but I just give you the heads up. Tomorrow or next week, I'm thinking I would like to do that. As I'm thinking of my wife in this moment. She is an amazing planner, but she does not like last minute things. In fact, she can get cranky sometimes. when I do that. And so as if I love her and I'm sensitive to that friendship, I'm gonna give her those heads up and realize why. Because there's planning that goes involved. There's some things that need to get shifted. Maybe there's some shopping required. I think being sensitive in friendship is the ability to read the room. What's going to help? What's going to inspire? What's going to comfort? I love Ephesians 4:29, and you probably have heard me quote this other times, but it was super impactful in my own life and heart. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. According to whose needs? According to my needs? According to their needs? Because we think about as we live life, part of maturing, right, knowing when and where to do what, is the ability to see people and do things for their benefit. And it grows you, it grows your relationship. But I love that if you think about God's love, everything he does really is for our benefit. It reflects his glory. It reflects who he is. Friends voluntarily tie their hearts to each other. Friends can't be happy or joyful when their friends are grieving. Friends bring their happiness and their hope and their purpose to their friendship, so that together that their friendship can thrive and flourish. It's not that you don't live. You live it honestly, but you bring who you are, the hope you have, the purpose that you have. You bring that to maybe their grief, to be able to cry with them, but then again, to look forward to something better. Those are the kind of friendships. I think about this, as I challenge it, there's a continuum of friendship, right? There's a deep friendship that Jesus has with us. He is constant and consistent in his friendship. And where are we? Okay? So I think about the friendships, as I challenge, is to be that kind of friend that's consistent regardless of the response. As we're going to talk about finding those kind of friends when we end here today, talk about what do you do to find those kind of friendships? Because I think about we tend to be, I'm going to be the kind of friend that you are to me. That's not the gospel. The gospel is, I'm going to be the kind of friend, Jesus, that you are to me. Regardless of somebody's response, because you might be that bridge for somebody to becoming a healthier friend by how you treat them, by the sensitivity you have, by the transparency you have, by your intentionality. Here's a question on sensitivity. Are you putting effort into reading your friendships? It's weird as you grow, sometimes you forget that you've grown. I have a hard time realizing that I was quite I still am, but more of a character than I was. But I just am fascinated that I'm able to better read people's facial expressions. I'm better able to read people's tension. To be able to say, hey, I just know something's up. Maybe it's not specific, but I can tell something's on your mind. I can tell that this conversation is making you anxious. I recently had Jackie and I were working through some stuff, and it had to do with me realizing it was a big decision in our life that we were working through, and I tend to be impulsive, which is I get a great idea, which is the first idea I have, and it has to be great because I thought of it without talking it through. And I could tell that Jackie was getting anxious about the situation. praise the Lord, I could tell that. And I just said, I just want you to know that this is what I'm thinking. And I could tell that you were worried that I was going to go this way on this decision. And immediately, I could see the blood come back to her face and the peace rest on her. And I was so happy that, A, I was aware of my own, what I bring to the room, you know, to read how I impact people, in particular my wife, and to speak to it and say, hey, I can tell that this is, you're wondering what's going to happen about this situation. And it's a big situation. It's like, how do we walk through this? But I just was so thankful because we had like the best, I don't want to say a good hour, maybe hour and a half conversation that we've had in a long time. And I was so thankful that God is growing me. And I pray that we, all of us, can grow those kind of friendships to be able to read what's going on. The fourth quality of a friendship is heartfelt advice, counsel in friendship. Proverbs 27, verse 17 and verse 9. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Show me one who not only tells you what you want to hear, but also tells you what you don't want to hear, and I'll show you a friend. We talk about those friends that are not only transparent and sensitive, friendships that challenge us, encourage each other to grow and change. Those are the kind of aspects that we want. But I think about friends that grow are ones that bring counsel. And by counsel, I mean that they just don't tell you what you want to hear, but they help evaluate situations. I think some of the most encouraging friendships that have helped me grow and change are ones that confront me. Ones that want to know why I do or think the way I do. It's challenging because sometimes you feel like it's gets tiring. But I think it's really healthy. I credit them with helping me being a better thought out person. That I know better why I do what I do. To have those kind of friendships that go both ways. It's like I said, not just one way that I'm being confronted, but you're wrestling through. Is like, this is why I do what I do. Tell me why you do what you do. Or I think you're flawed in what you do, and they got to come up why they do what they do. It's not like a therapist, right? If you go to a therapist or a counselor, they're like giving you advice. Friendship is both ways. Where you're sharpening each other and confronting each other and looking towards becoming the best version that God intended you to be. Deep friendships find that mutuality in the give and take of those kind of conversations. They're rare, but they're valuable. It's really hard about that friendship that you're looking for. Friendships, I like this word, the pleasantness. It talks about the pleasantness of a friend springs from heartfelt advice. A better translation and understanding of that in the Hebrew of pleasantness is really the sweetness. And sweetness, back in the days when Proverbs was written, you couldn't just add sugar to your meal. The only place you could find sweetness was by discovery, that you had to have a piece of fruit, you know, or discover that when you let raisins, you know, dry, that there's a sweetness to them, you know, grapes dry, or it would be something natural, so that it's like, wow. I mean, if any of you guys gone without sugar then you taste like something naturally sweet, it blows you away. It's like, I never knew this was so sweet. Something, it's so natural. And friendships are that kind of way that you have to discover them, and it takes effort to be intentional. And because it takes time, we can't have a lot of friends, close friends. It takes time to discover as you try to develop those things that you're looking for. You may have lots of acquaintances, but not many friends. Those kind of friendships that we're talking about. It takes intentionality, transparency, sensitive, and counsel to discover. But I think the most important part is that mutuality, that it goes both ways. How many relationships do you have that are mutually share both counsel and criticism? Those people that have permission to call you out and for you not to get so offended that it gets in the way of your friendship. But you recognize, hey, they love me no matter what. They've shown that. I need those kind of friends. I want those kind of friends. I want to be that kind of friend. Good friends are good for your health, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I mean, it's why God said to Adam, says, man, it is not good for you to be alone. We need to create relationship. And it's not just about marriage, but about friendship to partner with in life. He says, I'm making a helpmate. Yesterday, I was super blessed. I didn't announce it last week that we're doing a work day, you know, although there was a sign up back there. And for some reason, there was nobody signed up. So the people, lucky people that were here after church, I was like going around, hey, what are you doing Saturday? I don't know. Hey, can you put your name down here? Yeah. Hey, I don't know. I made them put their name down. Is there a reason? And then I made some phone calls and some text messages. And we had a great group that came together. There was a mutuality that was good, a teaming together. Laughter. And we were, I think, done by 1:30 or so. And it was a gift to be able to enjoy that, the hard work and the friendships that happened out of that. I think of the kind of psychological studies that are out there. Friendships raise your sense of connection, belonging, and purpose. They boost happiness and lower your stress. I think about lowering your stress. There's something that happens when stuff gets spread over a broader perspective. Instead of carrying all the weight yourself, to have a friend that you share that with. It just immediately, when you will share something heavy, because I know people, some of you guys have some heavy stuff going on. Share it with somebody. I guarantee you will feel better. When you share that with somebody, just to know that somebody else understands what you're going through. Friendships improve your self-confidence and feeling of self-worth. To have somebody who says, you're not a loser. You do stupid things, but you're not a loser. You got some great qualities about you. You got this. You know what I mean? Those kind of things that you wouldn't otherwise do, to have friendships that say, hey, go for it. This is a good idea. You might tweak this, you know, address this a little bit when you go forward, but you're going to do great. We need those kind of friends. Friends help you cope through hard times. You know, of course, we talk about illness, serious illness, or job loss, or death of a loved one. Friends urge you to change and avoid habits that aren't healthy. You know, again, talk about friendship, who you hang out with. They bring influence to them. Let me talk about, if we've all had seasons where we struggle with friends, that there's things that we can do to make new friends and to grow old ones. If you think of somebody that you'd like to know, and that's why we do our 5-minute fellowship time, is to be the catalyst for those kind of friendships. You don't know. You know, I have lots of different friends, not just acquaintances, but friendships for different seasons. And the way they became friends is because we went and did something together. You know, for me, even working today, yesterday, I felt like I grew some friendships with people and understanding who they were and laughing together and having lunch together with them. Initiate, invite them to coffee or to lunch. Keep at it because it matters. You know, you don't, friendships, you know, all the time I remember thinking, oh, that'd be a lot of fun to go. Gone out to lunch with them or coffee. I'm like, yeah, there's not much here. You know, just because you're like, there's a part of them you really enjoy, and there is a friendship, but not one that you're that is going to go deep just because you're just different people. It doesn't mean there's nothing valuable there. It just you, they aren't going to be your number three, you know, your three closest friends. And that's okay. But developing, investing, to keep at it, keep trying. And then you may need to suggest plans a few times before they just timing. You know, I've developed people, then they say, you know, they're like, oh, yeah, I want to get together. And so you offer it like they're busy. And some of us, we can be so sensitive. We're like, oh, they don't want to be my friend. No, you try again. There may be something really going on. It may happen a second time. And just read and try it again. And they, mean, they may say, quit bugging me. You know, that's okay. But there may be just some things that you can pursue, because sometimes people need to know that they are worth pursuing, need to know that they're somebody worth getting to know. Go to events in your community. Look for things to do. There are some things that people do, you know, whether it's a, any kind of club. Back in the day, it used to be bowling, not so much anymore, but there's lots of activities to pursue. I know we got the craft weekend coming up, that which is all about, I think there's people who are so hungry for that. I don't know why, but there's people, we have people coming from other parts of the state to come here for our craft weekend. Why? Because it's something they enjoy doing, but out of that, there's conversation and relationship happen. Volunteer. Offer your talents, you know, to a hospital or a community organization. We do Laundry Love or reading to a kid at the school or the senior center or church here to volunteer to create those relationships. Give and accept invitations. It takes both, right? You got to give somebody an invitation, but also when somebody asks you, answer. As I know people who repeatedly say no to people, guess what happens after a while? Nobody will ask them anymore. It's important to be able to say, hey, it's a little inconvenient, but guess what? Friendships get birthed out of inconvenience. Get involved in your church or special activities. Get to know. That's why we do game night. To come. It games everybody, but I'm not a big game person, but I love people. And so it's a lot of fun for me, whether it's other activities. Take a walk. Go in, outside. I think about, it cracks me up. How many have a dog? You guys have dogs? They're like instant friendship makers. You walk outside with the dog and you can create a friendship with somebody just by having a dog. You know, they have those movies, you know, where the guy takes his friend's baby so he could go meet girls at the park. It's like those kind of conversations, babies and dogs. You know, those things to go and do out. To create relationships. You think about it, if you're nervous about meeting new people, you may be tempted to stay home or not do those things. But my challenge is you ask the Lord, God created friendship to do things. Say, God, would you help me step into this? Would you help me to be intentional, to be a friend, one who's constant? When you say you're going to do something, to do it and follow through and be there for them in all circumstances. You help me be transparent and invite transparency in friendship. Would you help me to be sensitive for what's appropriate, how to read people and know what a right word for the moment is? Would you help me to give heartfelt advice, to understand and see and receive heartfelt advice? Because the way you and I are is not the way that the story should end. We should always be growing, no matter how old you are, no matter how young you are. We should always be growing. I just want to pray. How many of you guys could enjoy friendship more? It is like, I don't have time for friendship. I'm so busy. Well, that's a warning sign. That's a warning sign to say, okay, God, I need to enjoy, and maybe the friends that you already have that you need to invest in, that you need to be vulnerable with, that you need to grow in. Or it may be somebody new that God has for you to make space for that. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for friendships. I'm just so thankful as I look at the people who have impacted me. They're the friends that I have that have always are so challenging. But I know because of their challenges, it's caused me to be a deeper thinker. It's caused me to be more faithful in my faith to people and to others. Lord, I thank you for the friendships that have come alongside me when I've been hurting. Lord, that have read me. Lord, I pray that I wouldn't be limited in my friendships by who's giving to me, but I would be intentional about me being the kind of friend you are to me, Lord, that I would be pursuing, that I would be intentional, that I would be sensitive, that I would be transparent. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I pray that in our church family that we would find deep friendships, Lord, where we would find safe place to grow friendships. Lord, that we would become the kind of friends that people want. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.